from Psalm 1. This is the contemporary English version. God blesses those people who refuse evil advice and won't follow sinners or join in sneering at God. Instead, they find happiness in the teaching of the Lord, and they think about it day and night. They are like trees growing beside a stream, trees that produce fruit in season and always have leaves. Those people succeed in everything they do. That isn't true of those who are evil. They are like straw blown by the wind. Sinners won't have an excuse on the day of judgment, and they won't have a place with the people of God. The Lord protects everyone who follows him. The Lord watches over everyone who follows him. But the wicked follow a road that leads to ruin.
So the title of the sermon is The Lord Looks Out for You. And it takes its text from verse 6, which says, God looks over the path of the godly. If you are a student of the Psalms, if you read them regularly, probably felt its recurring themes. They're there if you just look for them. They just pop up over and over and over again. And one of those themes, in fact, the major theme in Psalms is wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is from God. Seems logical that wisdom would pop up in this. Wisdom has its orientation, its content, what it is, its character from God. James said that we should continually ask God for wisdom. You don't get it out of a book from Barnes & Noble, you know, not the bestseller list on the New York Times list. It comes from God. The kind that the psalmist is talking about. And James, furthermore, says that God will supply it. God wants you to have it. It's something that he generously shares with you. Paul said that wisdom is desired because the times are evil that we live in. I will talk about that more expansively in a moment. But Paul told the Ephesians, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So we really kind of come back to that theme in verse 6, which says God looks over the path of the godly. James says, look out how you walk. In other words, look at the path you pursue. Proverbs says that fools have no hunger or desire for wisdom. They don't want to hear it. Leave me alone. I'm doing my own thing. They do not want to be hampered by anything that restrains their behavior. It is the character of being a foolish person. And heavenly wisdom, the wisdom that God gives us, has particular characteristics that you often do not find in worldly wisdom. These are peaceableness, kindness, gentleness, open to reason, somebody that has both hearing aids turned on, listening to what God has to say, full of mercy, full of good fruit, impartial, sincere. These are the characteristics of a wise person. Abundance. You know when you've been around one of these people because they are so distinctive. If you want some contrast, consider what's been happening in the House of Representatives. Consider what's happening in the Gaza Strip and Israel in general. Look at what is happening. And it's not that there isn't a sort of worldly wisdom about that. You sort of understand at some level why those things are happening. But don't you think God would do a better job with it? Rather than leveling towns and kidnapping people, God would do it better. what God would do would be to plant a tree by streams of water, and this tree flourishes and it has leaves during all the seasons. That's what God does. So I'm really kind of fascinated by how Psalms from beginning to end is just infused with this whole idea of wisdom. Chapter 1 is the introduction. It's the doorway. When you look into Psalms 1, you get this little peek at what you're about to read. One individual has characterized it this way. Psalm 1 introduces books 1 and 2 of Psalms. Psalms 1 introduces books 1 and 2. And so books 1 and 2 are each collections of Psalms. Book 1 is 1 through 41, if you're interested. Book 2 is 42 through 72. And then along comes 73, Psalm 73, which is an introduction to the remainder of the Psalms. And when you read 73, you see some of these themes popping up again. The psalmist says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. For I've envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness." He goes on, "Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. Then I went to your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction." So Psalms 1 starts with this idea of the paths that we have before us, the choices for our lives. And Psalm 73 says, this is what happens when you pick this path or that path. 73 is a repeat, really, of Psalms chapter 1, and it's concern about where one walks. By the way, there's a kind of logic to Psalm 1. Psalms 1 says, "For the joys of those who don't follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in, or who sit in the seat of scoffers." Follow, stand, sit. You have sort of this progression, a sort of increasingly more embrace of the way of the foolish. First of all, you're sort of walking along with them, chatting, what are you up to? And then you're standing. Your back's up against the wall, and you're standing there talking and observing and listening and taking it all in. And finally, you're sitting. You're in the house with them now. Psalm 150 completes this collection of psalms. So Psalm 1 and Psalm 73 is about concern about how you walk, the kinds of choices you make. Psalms 150 finishes with this glorious song. Praise the Lord. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. And that's where it leads you. That's where someone who dwells by this flowing stream, the roots of which are always provided with nourishment. Psalm 1 has this word that gets debated a little bit. The New Living Translation says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow. He uses words like delight and things like that. Some translations say blessed are. Some say happy are. I won't debate the reasons for those words, but I think what's described here, whatever word you use, is something that's down to the bone good. It produces a contentment, a joy, a focus on life, an attitude that you don't get from anything else. It's not the orientation of the world's view. I guarantee you, it's not. It's not the orientation of the world's view. It's important because it describes the state of someone who does not follow the advice of the wicked. The level of commitment and obedience probably sounds stodgy, but the plain fact is it creates this happiness that you don't find anywhere else. Oh, it doesn't mean that you don't have those moments when you just despair. This morning, as Bev and I got in our car to come here, the phone rang. Car answered it. It was Chad. Hey, Chad, what are you up to? Chad's the preacher in Lodi now. He said, I just wanted you to let you know, I know you would want to know this, that Randy and Cheryl's youngest boy, Davey, was killed last night in a motorcycle accident. Well, I can tell you that Randy and Cheryl feel awful that I can't even describe this morning. This child that they had four children. And they were a close family, this lovely, wonderful family. Randy was a retired CHP officer. But just like that, overnight, their lives are turned upside down. But I also guarantee that Randy and Cheryl have the thing that the psalm is describing. It will get them through this. They're not happy, clappy, and they won't be for a long time. But this stuff that the psalmist is talking about will journey with them because God looks over the path of the godly. God looks over the path of the godly. He's there. By taking the wisdom of the Psalms, certain things happen to us that are produced in us in a thorough way. A way that you really can't talk to anybody about who's not experienced it. Oh, you would try, but they won't get it until they live this way. This is not a legalistic sort of thing. We're not talking about laws and rules and regulations, but we're talking about the orientation of someone's life. What do they value? How do they live? How do they treat other people? Psalmist says these people are like trees. They're full of fruit. I tried to write down some of the things that I thought are going on with this person. One of the words that I came up with was shameless. Shameless in an innocent sort of way. Shameless like a child that hasn't learned the shame that life brings us. Loving. Embracing. Tuesday night we were talking, and I got to thinking about the bounded set and the centered set, which I've talked to you guys about before. But then, for some reason, this morning I got to thinking about that again in reference to this path that we're on. And I think that this boundless, unbounded set is where people who live like this live, because there are no boundaries to these things in their life, to who they will love, to how they will treat people that mistreat them. Contrast is to follow the way of the wicked, but the psalmist basically said that is a dead end. It's dry, it's fruitless, it's unfulfilled, it's the opposite of happy. It's unforgiving, often defensive, angry. You see the contrast? That's what happens when you start catching on to what God wants to do in our lives and what He offers us. Psalms is full of this idea, living for and in God, or living like the wicked do. Living with godly wisdom versus the wisdom of the world. Psalms 119 has 176 verses, and it is a riff on the idea of wisdom. It starts off, joyful are the people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful they are. Joyful are those who obey His laws and search for Him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in His path. That's the wise person. This idea is just 176 verses of it. How does a young person live? By following your path. Happy are those whose way is blameless, he writes. I treasure your word in my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. My soul languishes for your salvation. I hope in your word, is the attitude of the psalmist. I enjoyed thinking about what I think happens to people who live like this. I think of Mary Johnson. I've never been able to get her out of my mind. Mary Johnson's son was killed at a party by a guy named O'Shea Israel. O'Shea, for whatever reasons, kills Mary Johnson's son. Well, O'Shea was caught by the police. He was put in prison in Minnesota. And Mary Johnson got to thinking about O'Shea Israel and was really kind of starting to wonder about whether or not she should go visit him, this guy who killed her son. And finally, she tells the prison system that she wants to talk to him. And so she goes through counseling and all sorts of things before they decide whether or not to let her in. And they do, and Mary Johnson, who's a Christian, goes to see O'Shea Israel sitting in prison, and she starts visiting with him. Over time, this relationship develops. And now O'Shea Israel lives this far, that's the distance of a wall, from his neighbor. O'Shea Israel lives here, and Mary Johnson lives here, separated by that much. Why? Because Mary Johnson has this boundless kind of wisdom that I'm talking about. Or Mother Teresa, who went to Israel and was not received well. But eventually, her life and her works overcame the opposition. She had this wonderful ministry there until her death. Or Nelson Mandela, who was held in this prison cell for years, black man in South Africa, finally was released. And immediately became, well, not immediately, but very soon after that, became prime minister of his nation, How does that happen? Not only that, but you would have expected him to rage and to get even and to tell all those white people that had for decades pressed apartheid on their black neighbors. But Nelson Mandela is a godly man. And he treats people in a way they were totally not expecting and turned around apartheid and the things that were going on in South Africa. There was no getting even. He understood this boundless path that God invites us to become part of. God looks over the godly, the ones on the godly path. This is a wonderful, almost deceivingly simple psalm about walking and standing and sitting versus someone who has been planted by streams of living water that produce fruit. There's so many wonderful examples of that in our history, in our near history. People got the idea and who said, that's how I want to live. I want to be that kind of person. And what a great thing to think about this week. I'd like to encourage you to go back to Psalm 1 and read Psalm 1. Think about what that means. Read Psalm 73. Read Psalm 150. Let's pray. Dear God, we get so distracted by the world around us. We are tempted at times to follow and stand and sit. But may your Spirit prick our conscience and remind us where our minds should be attuned. Please plant us by water and the rich soil of your word. May we bear lots of fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.